Okay. Speaker Dan Fitzgerald.
Good morning. A couple visitors today. Get up and introduce yourself. You. Lydia. Okay, nice having you guys with us today. Just look at some real elementary basic thoughts today. Couldn't find speakers. I put myself in here, usually on holidays, because there's not too many people usually out. I was talking to Carl earlier, and he was talking to a large congregation, telling me that they really didn't know much about the Bible. They didn't know who King Solomon was or anything. And having talked to a few people in my workplace, one guy goes to a really large church. He talks about the singing all the time, but never about the doctrine, about the book. And when I try to talk to him about these things, you know, there's really nothing there to talk about. It's mostly about the singing and the singing and the singing. Most people I talk to, even call themselves Christians, pretty much believe in a general resurrection, that God will, everybody will stand in front of God, and somehow the balance beams will be there, and if you persevere enough, you'll make it into heaven, and if you don't persevere enough, then you really didn't have the faith it took for eternal life, so you'll be and loss of entering into heaven, they would say. So I thought, you know what, I would like to just preach a very basic message of, this mic's a little loud, Don, it's echoing. So we'll just look at a couple real simple things today, since we have the privilege to do that here at Curtis. I'm thinking about the Bible, basic instructions before leaving Earth. And having said that, that's what I'd like to talk about today. I'm going to have a lot of scriptures to look at. If you don't want to flip through the Bible a lot, I'll just read them. You can write them down if you want, because I'm not going to wait for the, so because there's too many scriptures. Well, let's just pray. Father, we do thank you for this time, and we ask you to bless this time. For this basic instructions before leaving Earth, that we would just contemplate the very foundations of life before we leave here, because each one will leave here, and try to get a little bit grounded more where we once stood. In Jesus' name, amen. It's good to go over basics a lot. It keeps us fresh, like you got to oil parts to keep them lubed. The first passage is going to be in Revelation 22. And you wonder where these people get this idea of this general resurrection. It's because it's from passages in the Bible that are not too clear. Obscure passages contradicting several clear passages. Revelation 22:12 says, "Behold," this is Jesus, "I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give everyone according to his work." The next passage is in 2 Corinthians 5:10. "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things he has done in his body, whether good or bad." The final passage is in Revelation 20:12. "I saw the books open, and the dead were judged according to their works that were in the books." Revelation 20:12. Is it true that everyone will be judged according to their works, what they have done? Well, that's what it sounds like according to these passages. There are many judgments in the Bible, some temporal, like plagues, sicknesses, calamities. Other judgments, like the individual Gentiles in Israel. But the judgments where people stand before Jesus are set up into two groups. We'll refer to these two groups today as believers and unbelievers, since they are called by various names in the Bible. We'll try to clear up the confusion of where people stand in these two judgments. Since the Bible says that judgment will start in the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17, we'll look at the judgment first. The first judgment. 2 Corinthians 5:10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, whether good or bad. The writer, the Apostle Paul, places himself in this group. He says, we must all appear. The Bible has many nicknames for this group. They are referred to as believers, saved, redeemed, children of God, children of light, born again, my little children, pilgrims, sojourners, partakers of the heavenly calling, saints, and many more. All these nicknames have one thing in common. This first group of people, called by these various names, have believed in Jesus for the gift of eternal life, and not anything they have done. Their faith is in him alone to take them to heaven. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's the gift. That whosoever, that means anyone, believes in him, not behaves in him, shall not perish, but has everlasting life. Since it's a gift from God and nothing they have done, this should motivate this first group, the believer, into serving him. The Bible says that a believer, when he does good works, when Jesus comes, will be rewarded, and the bad things a believer does will be a loss of rewards. Behold, I am coming, and my reward is with me. This is why Jesus said to store your treasures in heaven. So the more treasures you store, the better off you'll be when he comes. So anyone who has believed in Jesus alone for the free gift of eternal life will appear at this first judgment. This is called the judgment seat of Christ, according to the passage we read. The word means bema. This word, bema, is what Jesus sat on in front of Pontius Pilate, the bema seat. This first judgment will take place when Jesus comes to catch up all those who believe in him for eternal life. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those who are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Then he will judge them for the things done in the body and reward for the things that are done good, and a loss of rewards for the things that are done bad. Those who have been faithful will be granted to serve with him in high positions in his government during his earthly kingship, which will be in Jerusalem. Those who are not faithful will still be granted entrance to the kingdom, but restricted of high positions and certain privileges, which will serve as reminders of their lack of commitment to the Lord's work. It's hard to imagine that one day Jesus will physically be in the city of Jerusalem. Our minds can't think like that. He will literally be sitting in Jerusalem on the throne physically, one day. People will be under his righteous reign government, and this should give a sense of fear to want to serve him more for those who believe in him and not waste the opportunity or lose the reward of a position in his high government. This will happen. He will physically be in Jerusalem, the Jerusalem we know now, sitting in there, running this world, Jesus himself. It's hard to imagine that. This is where the first judgment people will be. Believers. They will be in this government ran by him. There are many passages that talk about the first judgment. We're going to look at a few of them. There's many of them. We don't have time. We're only going to look at a few of them. The first one is 1 Corinthians 3, 12 through 17. Now, if any man builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, each one's work will become clear, because that day will declare it. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss on the judgment seat. The fire will test the quality and the pure intentions of the believer's work for God. It will either burn up, which means it was done for selfish ambitions only, or it will last for eternal reward. This passage goes on to say that we are the temple of God. And God is serious about this little temple, this little local church here. Anyone causes problems in a local church, he'll deal with them. For over silly things, too. Like people wearing hats. Nonsense things. Strifing over leadership, things like that, for no reason. It continues to say, if anyone thinks he's wise, he will act as a fool. God doesn't want us to be wise. God picks the people who he puts in chapels and adds wisdom to people. Anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, it says. Galatians 6:9 is the next one. It says, do not be deceived. Whatever a man sows, so shall he reap. God will pay back us for every good deed we do, and he will pay us back for every bad deed we do. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord. Let us not grow weary, this passage goes on to say, while doing good, for in due season we will reap reward. Are we growing weary here in our Christian life? Are we about to give up? Or have we already? We don't want to get discouraged. We want to stay faithful. You know, since my dad has died, I've come to appreciate faithful people. And a lot of us get caught up in certain Christian writers and follow their examples, big time names. But I've come to appreciate people like Mary Carpenter. Faithful people. People who come to the assembly and do the work without blowing trumpets, sounding horns, busybody, but just faithful year after year after week, no matter what the job is, they quietly do it. Continuously faithful, even under tremendous changes. As she has seen many changes here over the course of these years since this place has been open. She's one of the first people to come here since this place was open. She transitioned from Central Hall and is still here. That's a faithful servant. That's a person we want to pattern our lives towards. Forget about these Christian authors and writers. This is what an example of a faithful Christian is, right before our eyes. 1 John 2:28 says, little children, abide in him, so when he appears, we won't be ashamed. This word also means to be disgraced. He wants us to love each other and have fellowship with one another, and then we will have fellowship with the Father and the Lord Jesus. We're studying that right now in 1 John. We can't say we don't like this one or like that one. We need to work out our salvation, overcome fleshly emotions. We have to overcome these things And we have to love, as it's commanded over and over and over, love one another as I loved you. John goes on, look, you either love or you don't. There's no gray areas in 1 John. He's commanding us to love one another. And if we're not, we're going to be ashamed at his coming. We'll be disgraced at his coming. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he has been approved, tried true, he will receive the crown of life. This is the crown which the Lord has promised those who love him. This is one of the five crowns that will be given to the Christian who can handle temptation, persecution, with patience, not murmuring to God, but with joy. This is an area I need a lot of work on. I get a little trial and I'm all up in arms. Can you handle trials? Or are you murmur about them when they come in your way? This passage says, if you love the Lord, you'll endure them and will receive the crown of life. 2 Timothy 2:11 and 12 says, this is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall live with him. If we endure with him, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we have believed in Jesus for the gift of eternal life, we will live with him, this passage is saying. But if we endure the hardship, the faithfulness, the work, the obedience, and the love, we will reign with him. He goes on to say, if we deny him, he will deny us. Jesus said, he who confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father which is in heaven. But he who denies me before men, him I will deny before my Father which is in heaven. This is not denying entrance into heaven. This is a denying rewards, privileges in his kingdom. This is what he's talking about here. Passages taken sometimes to talk about hell, but it's not confessing Christ openly in your life, Christian life. And this last passage we'll look at is in Matthew 25:14-29. And I'll let you turn to that one. It's the last one. This is given by the Lord Jesus. It's a parable of the talents. It's a perfect picture of what all these passages are talking about for believers. It's a passage about our service for the Lord, and he comes again and rewards us. Faithful servants get this, unfaithful servants get that. Matthew 25:14-29, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who went on a long trip. That's the Lord Jesus. He went on a long trip. Who called his servants and delivered them his goods. I want you to notice that these are his servants. These are servants of the Lord. He gave them possessions. To one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2, and to the last he gave 1. He gave each according to their ability. Then he went on a trip. God gives some people more responsibilities than others, but that should be okay with us. He wants us to be faithful with what he has given us. Remember, too much is given, much is required. The scriptures say. The one that had 5 talents, it goes on to say in verse 16, he made 5 more talents. The one that had 2, he did the same. But the one that had 1 buried his in the ground. But after a long time, the master came to settle accounts with his servants. Jesus is coming soon, and there is nothing we can do about it. He's going to settle our accounts. Are we ready for that? Are we being faithful with that? The first servant that doubled his, the servant, he said, I have doubled my talent, Lord. The Lord said to him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a little, I will make you a ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord." He says, "Come and celebrate with me," the Lord says. Verse 22, "The second doubled his also. The Lord said, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You come and celebrate with me also.'" And these are the words we want to hear at the judgment seat of Christ, us believers. There's a special joy we will enter in the kingdom. And we will share with the Lord by hearing these words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." As we see here, these two people that were faithful, the Lord rewards them with a celebration and to enter into a joy into his kingdom. Verse 24, "But the one that had one talent wasted his possession." He buried it in the ground. He wasted his talent. "And the Lord calls him a lazy and worthless servant." Are we wasting our talents that the Lord gives us? Are we burying them in the world where it will not profit us anything in the life to come? You know, after listening to these couple guys, Carl and the other one, especially the guy I was talking to, we don't go to a mega church here where you're not allowed to do anything. You have to talk to this administration or that administration in order to get clearance, in order to do something. We have a lot to account for right here at Curtis Chapel, and we'll be held accountable for it. As we see, folks, the Lord is coming to judge everyone according to their works. The first judgment was the judgment seat of Christ. There's the second judgment now. And that's in Revelation 20:11-15, a very familiar passage. This judgment takes place 1,000 years after the millennial kingdom, after all the believers are reigning on earth for 1,000 years. There'll be a second resurrection of people, and there'll be a second judgment. This is a judgment where most even Christians think that they're going to be standing at, which I referred to earlier as the general resurrection. There is two resurrections. The judgment seat of Christ we see, and this is the great white throne, the second judgment. And it is found in Revelation 20:11-15. John is the writer. He says, "I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it. The heavens and the earths fled away. There was found no place for them." The apostle John writes, he saw a great white throne, but he does not place himself with this group as Paul did the first group. This is the other group. Heaven and earth leave the scene. There's found no place for them. And the reason for that is because this group will not be living on either one of them. They will have no need for heaven. They will have no need for earth. They're not going to either place. This group goes by various nicknames also, as the first group did. Verse 12, John calls them the dead, small and great. They're also called the children of darkness, the children of disobedience, the children of the devil, the children of wrath, workers of iniquity, unbelievers, unsaved, the world, sinners, those that receive the mark of the beast, blasphemers of God, wicked, and many more names. Just like the first group had one thing in common, and that was faith in Jesus alone for their gift of eternal life, this group also has one thing in common. They believe they're good enough to enter heaven's paradise by their own self-efforts. They have rejected God's free gift, Jesus, for their free ticket to paradise, and think they will make it on their own good conduct. Jesus will sit on a throne and judge their good efforts, as we see Revelation 20. We see the dead of all ages, John says, small and great, standing before the throne. This is the people of all ages standing before the throne. He refers to them as the dead. Small, ordinary people, and great. It's like a courtroom setting, you can imagine. We've all been to court. Probably would go something like this. All rise. The Honorable Jesus Christ of Nazareth residing. He sits down on the great white throne. It's called a great white throne because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's a white throne because he's holy and his verdicts are righteous and just. There will be no plea bargaining here. There's no lawyers. There's no bribes. There they are, the dead of all ages. The small, the ordinary people, good people, religious, moral people, kind of people we, even me and you think are good people. Then there's the religious people that even we think are outstanding. And then there's the great, it says. I saw the great. These are the famous people, the people of great power. You know, the kind of people you and I even envy once in a while. They're here too. It says, and the books were open. This is in plural, notice, the books. These are many books of the deeds of mankind, the unsaved people's good works. They think they're good enough to enter in on their own merits. But today, a scripture is fulfilled right in front of their own eyes, as Jesus says, by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight. Romans 3:20. Jesus will go through these books and declare his verdict. As you can see, in a courtroom setting, all have sinned, he will say, and fallen short of the glory of God. No man is good. No, not one. You can imagine by now, looking into him, they see that every knee will bow. In a paranoid panic and shaking and trembling before those eyes of flaming fire. As he quotes, you knew that my Father so loved you, didn't you? Every tongue will confess, yes, Lord. He will continue that he sent me, his only Son. But you said throughout all the ages, we will not have this man to reign over us. He will quote, all you had to do is believe in me. Believe I died for you. I was your only way to enter my Father's kingdom, so you would not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, you could see these words probably echoing through eternity when the Lord Jesus says it. You would not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. Everlasting life. Everlasting life. For eternity, these words will echo through the minds of these people. The King of Lords will reach for another book. This is a singular book. This is the Book of Life. By this time, all their deeds have been counted for, and they've fallen short of the glory of God. They've all realized that no man is good, no, not one. So there's silence as he searches through this last book, which is the Book of Life. You can imagine Jesus saying something like this, well, do you think you've gained eternal life on your own? Well, do you? As he quotes verse 15 of Revelation 20, and whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast in a lake of fire. This is where they'll be tormented day and night. This is where Jesus said the worm dies not and the fire is never quenched. Their sins will take all eternity to pay for, and the worm that dies not feeds on these sins. And the more it feeds, the more combustion, the more intense the anguish gets. You know, eternity means without end. Eternity is too long to be wrong. And one of us in this room is the next one to go. Is anybody here willing to take that chance of making their own efforts, their ticket into this paradise, after looking at these two scriptures? Reject God's free gift of eternal life that is found in Jesus alone. Or to believers, are we willing to waste our opportunity as we saw in the first judgment? Be called a worthless, lazy servant in front of the Lord. Jesus is coming. His reward is with him to give everyone according to his works. Father, we just thank you for this time now, and we ask you to bless this time and this simple word of yours to reflect on basic truths. Pray that it stirs our heart, any stagnant routine we may be in. We become afresh. We pray for if anyone here has not accepted you as your Savior, today would be the day. And us believers who are just going through the motions, that today you'd really convict us and help us to realize that judgment starts with you first. We will stand in front of you and give an account for what we have done for you. We want to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will make you a ruler over many." Enter into the joy of the Lord. Come celebrate with me, we want to hear. We ask for a blessing now on the children downstairs. Take us to our homes in safety, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name.